for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over 40 years of playing PlayStation and like 15 years in this games meeting. But I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. Sadly, the numbers have dropped now that we're back to two for a little bit, but they're still ever growing.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. How are you, my dude?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
That's good. That's good. Man, I'm not too bad. It's pretty all right. Today has been interesting because it's like one of the first the beginning of autumn days that we've really had here in Geelong. It's been kind of warm, and then now it's been rain most of the day, but it's also been muggy as fuck. And it's been gross, and I hated that. And then my kid, because he is the ball of energy that he is like, let's wrestle. I'm like, oh my God, everything is sweaty because of this humidity. And you want to like tussle around. Okay, sure, dude. No worries. But anytime, like, it's one of those things where I'll happily do that with my son anytime just because it's funsies. But one of the things we would have discussed last week, Max, is you said you had like your chaos children. How are the chaos children this week?
Yeah, everyone kind of, Ollie was a bit sick at the back end of last week. And then Ali and myself got it for a couple of days, but we're all kind of cured now.
Yeah.
Hadley dodged it for the most part, which was good. She's a nightmare when she's sick. But yeah, no, it's been good.
Yeah. Been good. But yeah, outside of that, what's been going on this week? Just the usual, just the work. Has been doing all the same stuff, which is all well and fun. I had a wrestling show yesterday, Saturday night time of recording. It was at Malice Wrestling Federation. I get to do a bit more of Commissioner Betson, which is fun. It allows me just to sort of go out there. And have I ever explained to you, Max, about like how the commissioner works in a wrestling pretend world? Yes, wait. Yeah, so I just got to go out and sort of draw the line in the sand, and I got to really yell at two people, and Phoebe explained it to like a teacher yelling off two naughty children. And I'm like, cool, that's kind of the energy I was going for. Not like immediately intentionally, but I think it set the scene. I think it worked for what we were setting up. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And as I put a little post on Facebook today as well about it, it's like, it was interesting watching, you know, obviously when I watch like WWE, there's always kids in the crowd. They're always like, oh my God, at the wrestlers. And even at local indie shows, it's the same thing. There's a bunch of kids that are like, oh my God, that person's a wrestler. And like knowing that I'll never be that, like, cause I never want to do that. I don't think like I'm built for that. But being able to have that moment, at least even just from my own son, like when I walk out, he's like, oh my God, that's my fucking dad. And that shit rules. Absolutely rules. Makes it, I do it for like its own mental health things for me as well. But to get to have that makes it way more fun. And makes me super appreciative of the company that lets me do that, which is the Malice Wrestling Federation. I know it's very self-centered of me to be like, you know, you make me feel good, you make my son feel good. That's amazing. And I get to do some stuff that helps build everyone else's round. But yeah, no, it was really cool. And like last time we did it was pretty fun. But yeah, I don't know. Yesterday was really good feels. And I enjoyed doing that one. But yeah, anything of note happened to you this week?
No, I led her first birthday party for the year.
Oh, awesome.
So I got to do the mingle with
how do you go about the other parent mingling?
Fine.
I'm not good at it. I think it's because I'm
They all came up and introduced me. They're like, oh, we always see you, you know, at school drop-offs and pickups, picking up Hadley. They're like, you know, you always seem so standoffish. I'm like, yeah, it's because I'm half asleep most of the time because, you know, I don't sleep normally. So I'm like dead on my feet. But I feel free to come up and say hi. I won't, you know, I don't bite often.
Yeah, like not unless, you know, if I'm startled, perhaps, which is this level of tired, I probably am quite easily startled.
But like, you know, you play that game of like, is this a party where I can drop my kid off and piss off for a couple of hours, or is this one of those ones that you have to stay for? And then we got there about 5 minutes after it was due to start. We were the first ones there.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, damn it. I even like got there late, so I wasn't the first to arrive. And then everyone else rocked up within like 10 minutes of that.
Oh, they knew. I think they had the same tactic that you had, perhaps. And how many of them buggered off?
Everyone stayed but one parent. One parent dropped their kid off and pissed off. And then she was the last one to leave. Mm. Like, Hadley and I left pretty late. There was the one other group. Like, we were the last two to kind of leave. And then this kid's mum just pulled up as Hadley and I were driving off.
Oh, poor
but it wasn't too bad. It was about 3 hours. It was actually just around a corner at the kid's house, so it wasn't too bad.
What was the because I think I always find interesting in these situations is like, what is the conversation of the parents? Because it's all like, it's never serious like actual conversation. It's all like surface level garbage because we're only there because our other kids are there.
Oh, everyone kind of just had the, you know, what do you do for work? What do you do with yourself? How do you entertain yourself during the day? Do you have any other kids? And then it devolved into like everyone's like sharing their tattoo stories because one mother started it and she's like, oh, you know, I just got my kids' names because I'm a white girl and I don't have any passions. I don't watch TV. I don't read books, but I love maths. I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, you sound like a person I never want to talk to. And I hate that I'm trapped here with you.
Well, it was funny because I said to her, I'm like, oh, I actually had my first maths experience last night. Because I was at our friend's house for dinner and she's like, I'm watching fucking maths. And she's like, The mother was like, oh my God, was it the latest episode? I'm like, probably not. I don't know. And she's like, what happened? What was it? I'm like, it was intimacy night. She's like, oh, how good was it? I'm like, no, it just wasn't. I don't understand how amazing. People can watch this garbage.
That's fantastic. I love that. Because I'm like, it's interesting because I also understand that no one really gives a shit about wrestling either. And like, because it is the same soap opera bullshit.
Look, if I don't know if this makes you feel better, but I would prefer to watch wrestling than maths.
I'll take it. Fucking take it. That is a win. That is a win in any stretch of the imagination, like in any space, because maths is disgustingly popular. And at least
wrestling is somewhat entertaining to watch. Like the spectacle of it is somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, it's true. Look, maths would be a whole lot better if someone got hit with a chair like mid dinner. Like that would be fucking tight. Next thing you know, the guy from two nights ago didn't like the person's chicken, fucking suplexes the woman. Heaven. No, that shit, I'm suddenly in. Wrestlers at first sight. There you go, done.
So, yeah, it was just, yeah. But it was fine. It was fine. Hadley had fun. That's all that really matters, I guess.
Yep, that's true. Has there been anything else? No, it's been such a fucking, like, we're about to touch upon some news that's, like, pretty intense. And, like, a lot, like, nothing, but also some things happen.
It's the final nail in the coffin for a Bloodborne remaster, in my opinion.
Yeah, but like, we aren't even there just yet. But, like, outside of that, yeah, I think my week's been pretty nothing. I think that's it. So let's get into the section we call what we've been playing. Max, what's been playing?
Not much this week. I been doing assessment tasks for my uni course.
Mm-hmm.
Work's been pretty intense. I am now up to the final boss in Octopath Traveler Zero, thankfully. I'm like 70-ish hours deep now. I'm starting to feel the burnout of the longevity of this JRPG for me.
Like,
It's been a hot minute since I've put 70 hours into a game.
Is the burnout because there's not enough to keep pulling you forward at this? Like, where is that coming from?
No,
or is it just simply time?
It was very long. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, the story is still fantastic, and I still stand by it. It is the best Octopath Traveler story that we've been given. It's just a honking long story because it's separated into essentially like three acts. And then each of the acts has essentially like a three-part miniseries in it. So it's a significant, I don't want to use the word slog, but it's getting to the point where, I don't know if you remember watching Return of the King, and you think it ends because it goes to like a black screen, and you're like, yes, yes, well done, well done. And then it keeps going.
Yep.
This game's done this a couple of times to me now, and I thought it was, I'm like, this is it. And then it's like, huh. Gotcha. And you do a couple more things and then you're like, oh, this one's it. And then it got you again. it's still such a great game. I've been having fun doing side quests and unlocking all the other characters that you can use and all that fun stuff. I just need a change of genre, I think. I need to mix it up a bit because I have been predominantly just been playing.
Well, what is right around the corner? That's because we've discussed many times. Like the next game for me is Resi, and it's like what? Holy shit!
I think it's gonna be Resi for me as well.
Oh hell yeah! Let's go. Away.
I actually reinstalled Resident Evil Village to kind of play around. But the other thing that I have played this week, and obviously this is not a full game, I played the storybook demo for Pragmata.
Oh, that's helpful because like I have no interest in it, but I want to know much about it. Tell me.
So you get thrown into what appears to be like a simulation room, and it kind of goes over the controls with you. So you're playing as Hugh, which is like the suited up robotic looking astronaut man.
Guy in the suit that's kind of like Dead Space, but kind of Kojima-y.
So it spawns in a couple of mechs for you to shoot. And Diana, the girl, is just like chilling on the ground doing her thing. And he's like, are you going to fucking help me? Like, I could use your help. I'm like, things are happening. Like, you want to come hang out? Because you're shooting this thing and it's not dying. It's taking like no damage. And she's just playing with a fucking puzzle or eating a muffin or something. I can't quite remember. She's doing something on the ground anyway.
Doing something with her hands.
And then she climbs up on your back. And then when you ADS the next time, a little pop-up window appears on your screen. It's like, hey, would you like to hack this machine? And you play the little mini game using either the D-pad or the face buttons, and you hack the robot, and it exposes its weak point, and you can actually kill the thing significantly quicker now. Mm-hmm. So the gimmick seems to be, like, the game doesn't pause while this is happening. You still have full movement control. You can shoot. You can dip, dive, dodge, and all that other fun stuff whilst you're playing this mini game trying to hack the system of the robots so you can kind of kill them in a speedy fashion to conserve ammo, do all that fun stuff. So you kind of, depending on, so you're multitasking essentially, but it gives you that accessibility, I guess, of using either the left thumb pad or the face buttons to kind of jigger which way you're going to do it. Obviously, you use your left hand to move, so face buttons kind of were the way for me to. And essentially, it's just one of those little slide puzzles where you get X to move it down, and you kind of just link the paths to make the circuit complete. And then,
okay, so it's not like super heavy, complicated.
No, it's just a couple of couple of inputs, and then you're done. But I would imagine. Like, you know, I only ever fought two, maybe three enemies at one time. Like, if you were faced with a fair few, I can see how it would get pretty hectic pretty quickly. I didn't play through the entire demo. So essentially the demo tasks you with getting through this section of whatever, like, I think it looked to me like a space station anyway. And you kind of do a couple of puzzles, you kill a couple of robots, But I'm in. And that was enough for me. I kind of, you know, it gives you a little bit of a gist of what's going on, what the gameplay is kind of going to feel like. And that was enough. And I have a feeling that the gimmick of the hacking the robots could get old quick. But for now, it was cool. I enjoyed it. It was something new.
Yeah. I think it's something new, but still it remains in that similar vein.
Mm.
Which I guess if that's sort of... Obviously, that is the where you like to play, right? So it's not as if you don't want to step away too far. That makes sense. But like, so has it changed? Sorry, I am looking off another screen. I'm trying to download Resident Evil Village while we're thinking about it because I want to play it later. Now that you reminded me, that's my train of thought. So yeah, oh yeah, obviously. So with this coming around in the relatively near future, has the demo swayed you in any particular way?
I'm in. Like I was curious when we saw the first couple of trailers, but now I'm in.
Interesting. I can't seem to find this fucking game too. It's pissed me off. When did this game come out? Oh, this game came out. Oh, wait, no.
There's a fucking search function on the
PS5. I did, and then it sent me straight back to the library. It goes, you already own it. I'm like, cool, can I download it? It's like, well, you've got to go over here. I'm like, for fuck's sake, mate. For fuck's sake. You know what, Ryan? Stop being distracted.
Pragmata drops on the 24th of April, so it's not too far away.
What was the date again on that one, sorry?
24th of April.
Oh, that's not so bad. You got a little bit of time. All right, I'm going to stop being distracted now. I do apologize.
And the game was first announced back in June of 2020.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I do remember the game being, like, around in talks for... Because I think the first... I swear
it was part of that PS5 showcase.
Oh, straight up. And I was like, yeah, this ain't it. And then I think you were originally sort of open to it, but, you know, either way. I'm going to check over here. Like, this is really... not important, Ryan. But my brain has really taken it in now. It's annoying me. Resident Evil Village. Ooh, free PS5 upgrade. I'll take that. Oh, no, wait, hang on. PS5. Aha. Sick. Done. Let's train of thought. God, I suck. Either way, Pragmata, glad you're digging it.
It is cool. What have you been playing? Pragmata is cool, though. I would strongly recommend anyone who's like on the fence about it to download. The demo is pretty small, like file size-wise.
Yep.
Check it out.
Interesting. Okay, so for myself, not really played too much. Probably the thing that I spent the most time on this week, and I did this purely because... It's prepared, Max. You're about to get some wrestling at you again. With 2K26 right around the corner, I was thinking to myself, maybe, you know, to get myself primed and into it outside of just the mode that I normally play, why don't I go do the things I didn't do in the current release, right? 2K25. So, and every year we talked, I got really excited about it for 2K26, which is the CM Punk Showcase, which is the game mode that has you play a series of matches in his career that, you know, the important moments in time in this story, right? And I remember that I haven't done that for 2K25. So I was like, all right, I'll boot it up. So it is the Bloodline. So the Bloodline was Roman Reigns and his family. And because the Samoan dynasty is quite large and it's been a massive part of WWE since the 80s, you kind of... So the idea is that you play through, like, you know, Rock matches, Roman Reigns, Jimmy and Jey Uso, Solo Sikoa, you know, like Afa and Sika, like Umaga, Rocky, you know, the Maivia, which is, you know... The Rock's dad, like there's all like the head shrinkers, all these kind of important people that helped build what is the Bloodline, and which at the time of the game's release was the big storyline. It was the thing that's been going for, you know, 5+ years at that point, and it was cool. So like for myself, that is, although I'm very deep into wrestling and I love wrestling, there are gaps in my knowledge. If you go past certain couple years, like, I'm not going to have any idea what's going on or what's happened. So this was a really cool way for me to experience, you know, things like, you know, Alpha and Seeker, like some, like these are wrestling characters that are integral to so many things now. And I go, okay, well, he's a bit of background. This is why they're important. And this is how they wrestled. That's pretty cool. And I enjoyed that. And I did it for the trophies as well, just because I thought, why not? There's like some of the trophies in 2K25 are insanely stupidly hard. And I'll never actually be able to achieve them. But I'm like, yeah, let's clear out a couple. And they also unlock some extra characters and stuff that we could use in the GM mode, which we're about to finish up anyway. But that was pretty much my main focus. It was just, I felt like I wanted a task that I could start and complete, right? Like, I know, obviously, I'm working through Yakuza and I'm enjoying it. I'm still enjoying it and having such a good time. But it's not long in the tooth in, say, like, Octopath is for you. Because how many hours did you say you put in Octopath again?
I'm close to 70 now.
Yeah. So, like, with Yakuza, I'm nowhere near that. I think I'm, like, 20 hours at most. But it feels like I've played nothing but one game for a really long time. So, what's something that I can do that I can just kick so in when does, and close?
When does WWE 2K26 come out? Because you mentioned it was soon. Is it
13th is the release of the standard edition. I think the Egg Fancy Pants editions are the 6th, I think, of March. So it's still about 2 weeks away, which gives me some resi time, which is exciting. I'm not sure. I have asked for review codes for both resi and for WWE. Obviously, only one of them benefits you. But who knows when they will arrive, but when they do, I'll probably, yeah, we'll jump into resi first, presumably. Yeah. And then jump into 2K a little bit after that. So I think Requiem might be that palate cleanser. And like, depending on how long it is, cause they're commonly what? 25 hours.
20 to 30 hours, depending on.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind jumping back into Village, hence why I got locked in a moment ago to make sure I downloaded it. Just to sort of retune myself with the controls and the gameplay and etc.
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, because I don't want there to be that kind of clunky start when you go in and you go, oh, what's this? Oh, fuck, what's that? I won't be able to just come in clean and I really enjoy it. Not even from a story perspective, because if anything, like, I'll just go watch a YouTube video and I don't need to replay it to remember all the parts. And I think mostly the DLC is probably what's going to be needed to be looked at more than the base game, I feel. Because I think there's a substantial jump in time. Other than that, I haven't really been playing too many games. One thing that I did do this week is, it's not related to games in any sense of the word, but we do chat about, you know, other mediums on here sometimes, is I finally finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You hadn't finished Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No. Like, I had watched half of it or so many, many years ago. And I really enjoyed it, but then I just sort of got distracted and wandered off as I do. And, like, Phoebe's a big fan of it. We were looking for a show that we would connect, we could both watch and enjoy. Because at the time I was watching Simpsons, just to get up to the point, you know, that I've discussed before on the show. I'm watching The Simpsons to get to a point where an episode like I've never seen before. And Phoebe, I think, would have killed me if I had not put another episode of The Simpsons on. So we returned to Brooklyn Nine-Nine. We started from the start, so we did the whole run. This week we went right through to the finale. And what an absolutely brilliant show. It is fantastic. I love it. I love all of it. And I don't think there's an episode that I went, well, that sucked. That wasn't a good one. Like, were there some that are better than others? Absolutely. But I don't remember there being like, ooh, that was a rough one. I love the characters. And especially as they grew, you know, with many, many parts of many characters resonating with different parts of myself and Phoebe and like my friends and our family, you know, it's, and the same way that Community built a really good show about the characters and having them feel all interconnected and be so well mean, you know, like this, you really feel like you know those characters by the end of Community, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine's the same. And I'm not ashamed to say that some tears were shed in that finale. It was beautiful, and I think it will live up high in my list of you know, sitcoms that I really enjoy. Like it's up there with Always Sunny, without a doubt. It's up there with like The League as well, mostly because of the crossover of Jason Mantzoukas, who I think is fucking brilliant in everything he does, but especially as Pimento. Like he's just captures crazy like no other. And in a lot of ways, I think it's the, now granted the show, because it is a sitcom, it is built on stereotypes, but they handle stereotypes and being seen in a very incredible way. Like how they show the relationship between Holt and Kevin, and how the understanding of just because they're a gay couple doesn't mean they need to be the flamboyantly, you know, stereotypical characters, but they find ways to integrate how they express their love for one another, and even how he expresses his gayness, for lack of a better term, but even in how they sort of find ways, now granted, because neurodiverse people make interesting characters in TV shows, but how they sort of integrate like Jake's ADHD, very clearly written for ADHD character, and how he was able to change and grow over the seasons and over the series, I should say, and to become a, you know, mature character and a father and so many other things. And then how that works with the likes of Amy, who is very, you know, autistically coded. But to show how those integrate and how those work really well together. And there's always this constant respect and love and admiration for each other. Even with the heist, which are all like trying to fucking kill each other. But yeah, it sits up there in the echelon of sitcoms for me, along with the likes of, Always Sunny, The League, How I Met Your Mother at the time, and Scrubs, which comes back next week. You're a Scrubs guy?
I've watched it. Nah.
Yeah. Because like I think you and I have... Oh no! Wait, or is Friends Allie's?
I like Friends.
Yeah,
because it's more Allie than me, but I like Friends.
Yeah, what's your sitcoms of choice?
Seinfeld.
Mm-mm. I wish that I could be watching Seinfeld. Phoebe doesn't like it, which I also want to watch Arrested Development too, because that, not Arrested Development. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Because it's the same level of just like, it's that real sardonic sort of shit, which is also why I like Always Sunny. But no, they're never going to happen. So,
like, you know, I liked How I Met Your Mother. Big Bang Theory for a while was good.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Other than that, yeah, no real games this week. Yeah, just mostly sort of closing on that. Now we're trying to look at what will be the next show that we jump into. We started Ted Lasso. We think that might be the next one.
With Nate the Great.
Because I've never seen it.
It's good. It's real good.
It is. Like it was a show that I was never like on it. I just wouldn't click on it given my choice.
Well, I mean, like I was gonna say, like you're not a huge sports guy, and also not a huge soccer dude either.
But I understand, like, with my stepfather being Scottish, like I understand soccer and the culture, and you know, most of the rules. But it's just more of like, I'm like, eh.
It's got one of the, like, it's got the best character development in a TV series in like fucking ages.
And that's all Phoebe's selling point. But also, like, talking about diagnoses a moment ago with like. with like Jake Peralta and Amy Santiago. One of the things I was chatting to recently, one of the kids I work with has ODD, which is oppositional defiance disorder, which means even something to their own detriment, they will say no because fuck you, because you told me to. There are many moments where I've started, because I was thinking about it recently and someone said to me, "Is like, oh, that sounds like a bit of that." I'm like, I don't have that, which in return probably told me that I had that. But yeah, and then as I've sort of thinking about it throughout my day, and I try to pay attention to when that moment hits, where if my immediate response is no.
That's why you hate weepy shit so much, because we've all been telling you for years to get on board, and you're like, fuck you.
Look, it's possible. And that's the worst part, and I'm really worried about it, because I don't want to go down that slippery slope, you know? But jokes aside,
try it, you might like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Next week, like, Ryan comes back. He's like, so I've been watching a bunch of tentacle porn, and yeah, I'm in.
And look, turns out that was it. That was what I needed. It wasn't like the voice acting. I needed them to not talk at all, to just be straight up assaulted by tentacles. That's what I needed to get me across the line. Yeah, so I think part of me being like, you know, you would love Ted Lasso. I'm like, no. But like, there's no reason, because we're watching it and I fucking love it and I really enjoy it. But part of my brain still isn't going to be the person that'll turn it on. If Phoebe puts it on, I'll watch it. I'm an asshole. Oh, it's painful. It's painful, stupid brains. But yeah, let's get out of that. Speaking of other painful things, let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. And trust it to be one of the most biggest news weeks, at least news stories, I should say, of PlayStation, for it to be just the two of us, which I'm stoked about too. The page is like, bounce, it's footy season. And then, boom, this happens.
Sony has axed Blue Point Games this week. Blue Point was acquired by Sony back in 2021. Most notably, it was behind the Shadow of the Colossus PS4 remake and the Demon's Souls PS5 remake remaster. They also did the original God of War collection.
And the Nathan Drake one too.
And a bunch of other things. They also was a support studio on Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. Blue Point has produced zero games since joining PlayStation Studios, because they were acquired after the Demon's Souls stuff. So they have worked on games, but they haven't brought anything out themselves. The studio was working on a live service God of War title that was cancelled earlier in 2025 when Sony backtracked slightly on their live service push. Around 70 developers will lose their jobs, according to Bloomberg journalist Jason Schreier. Schreier reports the studio spent last year, quote, pitching new ideas in an attempt to decide the company's immediate future. Sony issued standard statement, quote, Blue Point Games is an incredibly talented team and their technical expertise has delivered exceptional experiences for the PlayStation community. We thank them for their passion, creativity, and craftsmanship. The closure feels particularly harsh given Blue Point's track record of delivering acclaimed remakes. Timing raises questions about Sony's acquisition strategy and support for its studios. We kind of have been discussing this in our own little chat that we have. And my consensus is still that the God of War trilogy remake should have been given to Blue Point, freeing up Santa Monica to do other newer things. Blue Point did it the first time around. They've worked on Ragnarok as well. They do know what they're doing. This seemed like a perfect fit. They were working on a God of War title anyway. Why not just give them this?
Well, yeah, I agree with you in the presumption that everything is positive, right? And Blue Point Games have also really given us no reason to question their ability, right? You know, we've seen their works, as you mentioned, you've listed, like, you know, the Metal Gear HD collections in there as well. Like, they know what they can do, right? And they are very good at what they do, which are those remakes and remasters. Now, granted, their resume isn't gigantic. It's only like, you know, 10-ish or so games. But they have been very well respected for what they do. So we always assumed that them being purchased and brought into the PlayStation first party was for that sole reason, right? PlayStation have become really reliant on remakes and remasters to either breach into the new console, pardon me, to make a little bit of money, to test some waters heading into the potential return of another series, etc. So that's where it seemed to make sense. Like, the purchase happened after Demon's Souls within the launch on the PS5. So we thought the future was going to be bright, right? I've been thinking over the last couple of days, because my immediate assumption, once again, in the ODD, right? My immediate assumption is this is bad and it was a bad decision. But I'm like, okay, what information could we not know that could alter this reason? The immediate assumption would be they've not released a game, they're costing us money, there's no return on the investment thus far, we need to close them. It is not the first time that PlayStation has closed a studio due to complete utter mismanagement on what projects they are given. My immediate memory is Guerrilla Cambridge, which the last like three things they were left to do was like some Vita games when the Vita was already dying. The other one was Rigs on PSVR. And I think there's another one as well. Essentially given them all the titles that set them up to be closed. Do I think that Blue Point was treated the same? No. I would like to hope. So I'd hope and I'd like to think that Herman Holst, as much as I question he and his team's capabilities at the moment, I don't think they would intentionally sabotage the studio. But their closure does come from that complete mismanagement of the team at large. But then again, I'm sorry, I'm tangenting myself and I'm getting a bit tangled. But what if this multiplayer game wasn't a concern around the live service model? What if it wasn't very good? Like, what if what they were being tasked to do wasn't up to snuff? Hence, because as I said, I'm with you. The assumption would be if they are making this God of War thing, they've worked on God of War Ragnarok, it is highly likely that they have assets from like the Greek stuff that they could use to bring into this trilogy remake, right? So it should be standard. Just simply pass it on over. But they didn't. With studios like The Last of Us, with studios like Naughty Dog, and there are a thousand different different ways of handling and releasing The Last of Us, they have always been directly involved. But Naughty Dog have set themselves up to be that studio that needs to have their touch and their hands on all of it. I would not consider Sony Santa Monica in that group, because previously IPs like God of War were passed out or were passed off. If you think about the two PSP titles, right? So why is it different now? You know, does that make any sense?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, there's been, so this morning, it would have been this morning. So from Detective Seeds over on Twitter, they kind of did a deep dive because they spoke with some former Blue Point employees. And essentially, the God of War live service game was pitched by Blue Point during their work on God of War Ragnarok. So it wasn't like they were just being like, oi, you have to do this. They're like, hey, this, we could probably, you know, we might be able to do something cool here. And then they're like, maybe this was not the choice we should have made. You know, we've never done anything in the live service space. This could be a problem. It then got cancelled, the back of 2025. They did try to get other projects greenlit. Apparently, according to this tweet and from the information provided, there were four projects pitched to PlayStation. None of them got greenlit. two of those four projects were remakes they wanted to take on. PlayStation didn't believe they would be successful in the market. Both were single player experiences. They don't name what the remakes or remasters were going to be, so I would love to know what that was. But, like, if that's what they were originally acquired for, why not give them that, you know, that one last opportunity of, like, hey, you guys pushed for this live service thing to begin with, like, at the back end of Jim Ryan's tenure of head of PlayStation. So we knew that this was the kind of things that you wanted, so we pitched a live service game. It was clearly, we clearly jumped into the deep end here. Didn't work out. Here are our four backups of things that we will be able to smash out. They're right up our alley. These are the things that are going to work. And Sony's like, nah, we don't see him selling. I would love to know what those titles were that Sony have turned around and be like, nah.
I agree, because I think with my original theory in pitch a moment ago, it does still kind of stand possible with everything you've just said.
And, like, and you know, you look at the shitstorm that's happening over at Bungie at the moment. You know, all the Marathon delays and their I mean, obviously Marathon's just around the corner finally and starting to look kind of good. But on that end, they've now delayed the next Destiny 2 thing by 3.5 months. They've changed the name of it. Like, at what point do they go, like, oh, we spent a shitload of money over here, but we can't give these guys the benefit of the doubt, and we got them for at a steal of a price.
Yeah, and then on top of that, what happened to the original discussion around, like, you know, oh, the live service money is a different pool to our single player money. You know, like what, our usual production will not be altered by the introduction of these games as a service. I don't know, but yeah, what I'm getting at is, yeah. And until we find out what those turned down remakes are, we cannot assume that they...
I don't think we'll ever know.
We'll never know. But as I said, my original assumption of, I would hope the PlayStation aren't vindictive enough to knock all those projects back simply to fuck them over. But if we find out what those three games were, and they are, like, big honking hadoozies, like, the, you know, the old classic Bloodborne remake is in those three, or I think Legend of Dragoon was one that was thrown around a lot. Now, granted, I would also argue that Legend of Dragoon would not have the sales that they'd want
to
see.
You know what I would love to see again? Drakengard. With, like, the popularity of Nier, Drakengard would be a great one to revisit.
Trying to pull that from my memory and I got nothing.
They're all part of that same family. Like, yeah, Drakengard's really old school. So Nier was like a spin-off tale, and Nier's obviously hugely popular at the moment. Like, in the quick bits that I don't have written in the
document. Yeah, I know
Nier,
the one now.
Nier
yeah,
Automata yeah. just reached 10 million sales.
Jesus.
Square Enix are like, more is coming for Nier Automata. Like, Drakengard would be a cool series to revisit, knowing that there is that kind of, I mean, it is definitely a niche market, but again, you know, not a bad way to introduce people to something similar to what they're already enjoying, but it's just, like, in the same world. But it's not a Sony IP, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because I can't, if you'd ask me, like, what should have they done instead? I'm like, I don't know. It's not my job. So it's that weird thing. It's like,
This is when Padge comes in and he's like, Sly Cooper.
Yeah, but is that the answer too? You know, like, or did they pitch fucking Killzone? If they, you know, or they Resistance, or, you know, things like that. If they were in that conversation, I would be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, then there's a little bit of sabotage in there potentially. But by extension, I'm kind of having this internal, like, reconsideration as along lines of the ODD things is, I am someone that is so fearful of failure, right? So the idea of something not working out terrifies me. So then I was thinking about it in, like, you know, obviously by extension of like my former employer, you know, I was made redundant. Because it was, you know, wasn't a match or whatever, and it kind of hung on me for a while. And I think it comes down to, like, I have such an eager a need to be seen as achieving or be seen to be pleased someone or whatever, that I can't fail. And I think in a lot of ways, many people see these big companies, these big things, and they're like, they only make hits. They only make bangers. Well, no. People fuck up and fail up all the time. And they, you know, there are ways that they can get up and go again. So what I mean by that is, it is very possible that Blue Point tried something and it failed. And there are consequences of things failing, but there's, you know, but it's the same risk that you calculate for trying something in case it's going good. You know, there are so many people on the internet, us included, that essentially, like, what's the expression? Like, so, you know, couch analysts, right? We don't know what it takes to run a fucking dev company. We don't take to run a business. And I want to be aware within myself that I don't want to leap to these conclusions about, like, yeah, sabotage or fuck Herman Holst or this, that, the other. I'm sure there's data to back up those stances, but people should be allowed to fail. And I know that's me sort of projecting in that, hey, I'm allowed to fail. But yeah, because the idea of a project not coming together, yeah, I don't know. It's such a standard thing that happens, Max. Nothing works right every time. So why do we expect that of all these studios and all these places? Now, granted, because millions and millions of dollars on the line and the people involved in these things should know fucking better. But no one can 100% predict the future and what works. Does that have anything to do with Blue Point? No. Have I gone off on a complete tangent? Yes, I have. Do you have any other thoughts about this?
Look, it's... this next story kind of ties in together. So, like, you know, at the end of the day, losing your job sucks, and I hope a lot of these people land on their feet. From what we're hearing online, some of them were offered help to find positions in other SIE companies. Some weren't. And then it's like, well, you know, if you can save some but not others, why are we closing the whole studio down?
Yep.
You know, was this really, like, you know, the, I don't know how, they're saying around 70 developers will lose their jobs. Was that, is that the size of the entirety of Blue Point was around 70?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then either some of them were, you know, some of them will be like Bungie before them. A lot of Bungie people got kind of reshuffled into other SIE areas. I hope they land on their feet.
As of February 2026, Blue Point was operating with approximately 7 to 80 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's everyone. Everybody, as we know, the studio's closing, right? So everyone's losing their job. But yeah, like, we don't know how many of those, of that list, would be moved on to other people, other places.
Yeah, right? It's one of those things. You're like, you know, if the studio as a whole is closing, does that, you know, give them the opportunity to go somewhere else and be picked up? Can they go back to doing what they were doing when they were a not owned by Sony?
But, and
like, you know, what do they do as a group now? Where, what, what's their,
well, they aren't a group. They aren't, like, a group anymore now. I mean, that's the, yeah. And like, I know that it's very possible that many people that form Blue Point Games aren't even there. And, yeah, you know, so I imagine many of them, I think there was even a quote at some point that they, excuse me, did not want to be known as the port studio.
Mm.
So maybe, you know, when that statement was made, which I don't think they should know their space. And I'm not saying that they should know their lane and stay in it, but also they should know their lane and stay in it, right? Like, these places need to exist. Not everything can be that big, beautiful, Naughty Dog level studio. Like, you need people that are happy to port stuff, that are happy to remake stuff. But instead, they'll just do a bloody good job at it.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't need to be the best. How about you just be what you are and be fucking good at it? But, yeah, I don't know. It's a real damn shame. But it does also then bring into that further question, as I say, complete mismanagement. It has been nothing but bad news with Jim Ryan, Herman Holst, and these changes in a post Sean Layden, Shuhei world. Do you think it is as straightforward as they didn't know what they were doing? Or is it just because the gaming business and industry as a whole has changed so rapidly that the likes of Sean Layden just got to benefit the last wave of the old way of doing things?
Well, I mean, is it Tencent that Layden went to?
Yeah, Tencent now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's going to be, he's chilling like a villain now. look, we still don't know the whole story about why Jim Ryan left/retired, was ousted. Like, we don't know if he went full rogue and he's like, we're fucking doing live services, and then he just left this pile of shit for Herman Holst to deal with on his way out. Like, we don't know what happened there. And, like, we don't know, like, realistically, we don't really know what Holst is going to do here, whether, you know, he's trying to, like, he's obviously got metrics that he needs to hit. And he's obviously been left with a bunch of delays, a bunch of flops that have, you know, come out and haven't performed well. And I would imagine that he's also under a lot of pressure, because it has been a hot minute since we've had some solid first party tentpole games coming out of PlayStation Studios.
Well, we're about to get, presumably we're about to get there. This year looks really good.
But, like, that's the other concern. Like, are we going to get Wolverine? Are we going to get Heretic Prophet and whatever the next rumored God of War title will be within the next 18 to 24 months, and then we've got nothing again for 7 years?
Mm.
Like, that's not sustainable either.
No. Not at all.
And then when you're closing down all these smaller support studios that make those in-between games, what are you going to do in those in-between times? You know,
perpetual money machines, man. That's what they want, but they just can't get them.
But they don't, because they can't make a live service game to save their life. And, like, if Marathon comes out and flops, that is another mark on their losses cards. And, like, obviously Marathon is, there's an open beta this weekend, like, coming.
It's right around the corner.
So, you will be able to try it out very, very soon. But, yeah, I think that, yeah, if that doesn't hit the mark, Bungie's going to be in for a world of trouble.
Well, you would assume so, right? But then in the same breath, Media Molecule haven't done shit since Dreams. And even then, Dreams was a pretty catastrophic fire, I should say. But they have the advantage of, what's that award? Is it a BAFTA? Did they win a BAFTA? They won something.
Mm.
There's one of the people won, and, like, they have a bit of body armor comparatively. But, like, what does this mean for Sony Bend, who was also sort of presumably impacted from these same decisions that have been thrust upon Bluepoint, or thrust upon, or chose to enter?
Yeah, they won Studio of the Year in 2008 for the Spike Video Game Awards. They won a BAFTA for Tearaway and Little Big Planet. Dreams got a Game of the Year for Games for Change.
Was the CEO or something? Hang on. All right. Hi, everyone listening at home. Isn't it lovely when we just don't say anything?
Well, if you want to look at that.
Yeah, it was for Siobhan. Fuck, what's her name? Was Siobhan ready or something? Yes, either way. Either way, Siobhan ready. Yeah, there you go. You know what I mean? So they are a well-acclaimed studio. Like, that gives them some protection. But how come they can dodge not releasing anything of value?
Because maybe they also haven't been working on anything that they've, you know, dipped a shitload of cost into that
But they're still operating costs. But like, if they're, if in this time they should be making something, if they've not made anything of note since Dreams, a PS4 game, might I add, shouldn't they then have the same level of critique put upon them? Because they may not be in like heavy development,
yeah, for sure,
but they're still quite heavy overhead. Because when was Dreams? Was it? I want to say it's like,
well, they ended active live service support for Dreams in September of 23.
Okay.
And they're apparently working on a new IP at the moment.
Yeah, maybe there's a little bit of leverage there.
Well, but this...
I was gonna jump ahead to the next story. I'm going to skip one because it does tie in. I was jumping to Phil Spencer.
What was that? Oh, you want to go to Phil Spencer? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because as we sit here and, you know, question the leadership of PlayStation...
Microsoft told you to hold their beer.
Yeah, they were like, hey, have you thought about this? And this week it was announced Phil Spencer is retiring as the CEO of Microsoft's gaming division after many years of heading Xbox. And on top of that, Xbox president Sarah Bond will also be exiting the company in a major leadership overall shakeup. And that has put Asha Sharma... as the new executive VP and CEO of Microsoft Gaming. She was previously the head of the core AI division, so that's promising. So Spencer served as the gaming CEO since 2022, taking over from Don Matrick from memory, and then very quickly became the face of the Xbox platform during his tenure. Sharma, however, her background includes Instacart, Meta, and Microsoft's core AI division since 2024. Matt Booty, who seems to be continuously failing upward, has promoted to Executive Vice President and Chief Content Officer and will be reporting to Sharma. Spencer will remain an advisory role through the coming months to support the transition. Sharma pledges focuses on quote great games and quote empowering studios and investing in iconic franchises. Sharma addresses AI concerns by saying, we will not chase short-term efficiency or flood our ecosystem with soulless AI slop. Games are and always will be art crafted by humans. Well, hey, wasn't she very aware of the best PR statement to make? Timing raises questions about Xbox's future direction. Some see it as a potential end of the console hardware focus, but there is little to be known because this news is mighty fresh, Max. Mighty fresh.
Yeah, so my understanding is that it was today that he... actually, I think it's tomorrow that he is officially retired. Because Monday American time, I believe it was, which is tomorrow of, well, even the day after, actually, release day of this podcast. When I first saw the headline, because the headline obviously read Spencer retiring AI to take over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah, that's a bold move. I'm like, I knew AI was taking our jobs.
But literally.
I didn't think it was literally going to be. And then obviously the thought popped into my mind that Clippies is going to be fucking everywhere on Games Pass now. I think Joel mentioned in our chat that Copilot is going to be integrated into Games Pass.
Rad.
The AI will suggest games based on your previous search history.
What is this? PlayStation, those podcasts? What is this?
It's very interesting and it seems out of the blue, but apparently it came after like a shareholder meeting or something that essentially voted to have a change of leadership by the sound of it. It sounds like Spencer was forced to retire. I wonder if it's similar to a Jim Ryan style retirement.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It was kind of like, if you don't, you're like...
You're out.
Getting, yeah.
It is very interesting that, Xbox and Microsoft were like, hey, hold my beer for a second. Like, you think you can fuck your week up to check this shit out. But in that same consideration... We have levied a bunch of shit at the likes of Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond before.
Well Games Pass was also Spencer's baby as well.
Correct. And everything has been pushing in that direction. And Phil Spencer, and we've been, actually, let's say that we've been saying this for a while. Microsoft has not been run by neither Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, or anybody in that immediate circle for a very long time. And this has always seemed like a situation of not if, but when. And it is more suspicious and conspicuous when both of them are losing their jobs on the same announcement. And I don't think Phil Spencer's that old. Like, is he? Granted, he probably has a stack of cash.
Well, he's been ready to retire. 25 years.
Yeah, like I know, like in his role,
because he started like an intern, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. He's been there forever, but and he's probably certainly got enough money to retire. So I shouldn't connect age and retirement, because if most people want to retire really young, I'm just very aware that our generation, Max, will likely never retire. Yeah, but Sarah Bond getting the boot as well. Do you think that this is going to be the start of a fundamental change and a redefinition of how Microsoft are going to work? Or how handle Xbox, I should say. Will we see exclusives return? Will we see them step away from this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox, this is an Xbox? Are they going to try to bring it back?
There was a tweet earlier today where the new CEO, what's her name, Asha Sharma, responded to some fan outcry of like, we want our exclusive back, blah, 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 stop doing this multi-platform crap. And her response was, I hear you, or we hear you, or we're listening, or something to that effect.
Yeah, it was we hear you, yeah.
It's we hear you. I don't know. I put in the chat earlier, I'm like, if she fucks my draft pick this year because she's like, Fable's no longer coming to PlayStation, I'm gonna have to smack someone. And then Padgy obviously replied with, if anything, everything that's been announced for PlayStation will stay here, but next time around it's like, hey, we've hooked you, now you have to buy our console to play the next one.
Yeah, I don't think there will be that remember the old thing with the purchase of ZeniMax and Bethesda, with the idea of like, oh, the legacy titles will return.
Yeah, but they're...
But what I mean by that is, like, they're not going to be able to... They're not going to pull that. They're going to be like, we've already agreed to these ones. Everything from here on out, get fucked.
Well, I think the difference there is those were third-party games. Fable has always been a Microsoft IP.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be like, okay, we gave you a taste. We've hooked you on the cocaine. Now to get you fixed, you've got to come play on our side of the fence.
Yeah. It is interesting because, like, I was thinking about this.
It's still a dick move, but it's less of a dick move than being like, you know, the game that's always been on your PlayStation. It's no longer on your PlayStation. Suck a big one.
Yeah, true. Very true. But I keep saying but.
But the other thing is, and like Forza has proven this by itself, they can make a shitload of money over on our side of the fence,
yeah.
And it's kind of dumb to not do it.
And if that's like my immediate assumption, and because it is a business and capitalism and graph needs to go up and to the right, the assumption would be that this change in leadership is because Xbox as a brand is dying. Is it recoverable? Sure. To the same extent it once was? Probably not. But if they want to do this to make money, to make up for the loss in the purchase of ABK, etc., does locking everything back down seem like the best course of action?
No. If anything, opening everything up more does.
Exactly, right? So then, apart from just the optics of changing the leadership, I'm with you. I don't think their strategy is really going to change. They're in too deep now. Like, granted, as I said before, like, you know, people... failure is and will happen, and you can adapt from it, and you can learn from it and change. Then there is still time, you would like to think, for them to fix any of this. But I don't see it being a big 180 to suddenly everything's back. We're doing the things the way they used to. But
The Xbox 2's coming out next Christmas. I don't think that's the thing,
because they have mentioned that there is that desire and there is talks about them releasing, they will be releasing a new Xbox. Because the conversation was always like, well, if everything's an Xbox, why are you releasing a new one?
Well, they have to, because not everyone wants to play on a PC.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's the only, that's realistically the only other way to play Xbox games with ease. Some people like having that box and being able to sit on their couch and play their games that way.
My follow-up question, and I think it's mostly, I'm trying to think how to word it without sounding like a weirdo, because I can't seem to get sentences together today. With Microsoft fumbling super hard these last couple of years, it has completely decimated the idea of the console war, right? So now PlayStation are left in a position where they are super strong, they are moving numbers, they are looking really, really promising. Microsoft tried to play the game differently in hopes that it would give them that lead. It did for a minute, and then very quickly it didn't, as they grew too big and sort of consumed too much. I'm debating within myself, like, are they then going to play it safe and just return to how they used to do things? Because, like, every industry grows and changes, and I don't think going backwards, and because even PlayStation have been forced and pushed to change because of the decisions that Xbox has made. Some for the better, many for the worst. But it has forced change. Like, does going back and trying to return to the race you once lost the answer? Because, like, starting your own fucking race over here isn't it, clearly. Does that make any sense?
Well, I don't know if they were starting their own race. I think they realized that as a business, they weren't making as much money on their physical hardware. So they're like, hey, let's become a third-party publisher. And then we can use that to kind of leverage our hardware over here and kind of balance it out that way.
But at the same time, like, I went to EB Games, you know, over the week, and their Xbox section is no bigger than like these two sets of four cube shelves behind me. Like, it's literally this. It was like a slim section. Now, granted, the gaming section is also not that much big because they're too busy selling off any other piece of plastic crap they can find.
But the other thing is, like, when you have a games library as big as Games Pass, not many people buy physical media anymore.
Oh, absolutely. But then,
so there's no point stocking a shitload of stuff in a physical store.
But what I mean by that is, like,
which is why a lot of our game stores are now selling fucking plates and cutlery and hoodies and fucking socks and board games. The board game section is massive now at EB Games,
which is great.
Comparatively to what their video game section is. Like, at our local, it's one wall of video games, be it Switch, Xbox, PlayStation, and then the rest is
shit,
pop culture stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to comprehend, like, yeah, what's the, once again, as a not business person, I want to be, and I try to be, and I, you know, I'm not a fucking idiot entirely. And I do know some things.
Because, like, realistically, all they've got to do is sell 4 to 5 full-priced games to cover the cost of a fucking console.
True.
And, like, if they're not getting any PlayStation buyers buying an Xbox, but we will line up in droves to buy fucking Forza. Like, how many copies of Forza did it sell on PlayStation?
In
the millions, right?
2-3 million. So it was at least 3 million.
So there's, like, effectively close to, you know, 750,000 consoles sold over here in equivalency that they weren't going to sell anyway because no one was buying them. But by letting us play on their field, they've essentially, you know,
bringing their ball to our field, and they're like, hey, you want to play more ball? Come back to our field. And I think that's, like, I think you're correct. That is by far the only really way they can go about it. Like, I think Game Pass will still be a key part of what they do, but I think the original plan of what they want
in
Game Pass.
I think it has to be now. They would be crazy to get rid of that service after having it for so long. Like, could you imagine if Netflix just packed up their shit and went, nah, see you later? fuck you guys, we're not doing it anymore.
Well, that could absolutely happen, but yeah.
Well, I guess it's more of like having the channels of Amazon Prime, and they're just been like, no more channels. Everything that you used to have access to, we're getting rid of now. Maybe just Netflix closing down is a bad analogy.
I don't know. It's for me. It's in the world that we're in. There is no loyalty. There is to the customer. There is no care for the customer. It really doesn't fucking matter. So if they do choose to just completely close up something, they will. And what about the customer experience? Fuck you. They don't care. They literally do not care. And it's more, and see that more and more. So I guess that's why I'm not trying to think about it like not from a customer facing space, because they don't care.
I mean, the other thing is, I would imagine it would have to be making them money.
Oh, like I imagine there certainly is money coming in from Game Pass. But like, does the model of Game Pass have to change? You know, is it you get new releases on Game Pass 3 months later, so everyone has to buy it full price brand new, right? Because if they go back to the old model of locking everything on Game Pass and no one's on Xbox, and as you said, not everyone's playing on a PC, they have to alter it somewhere. And if it's altering Game Pass to be like, it's exclusive X amount of time, you know, it's not there is no longer day one first party release on Game Pass. It's like PS Plus now. You get it 3 months later. Round. Yeah, you get it three months later. Like, that is the only way that they can continue to do what they do now, keep the exclusives back on Xbox and make money. But then again, that's on the presumption anyone fucking has any money, because shit's just expensive across the board. That brings us to the next piece of news.
It does. Memory component crisis could delay PS6 for up to 10 years, according to the Phison CEO. I'm just going to leave it at that. The Malaysian executive's company manufactures solid-state drives, flash drives, and similar memory products for consumer electronics. Crisis driven by unprecedented AI demand, RAM orders from AI companies creating a, quote, lack of memory situation. This impact extends beyond consoles to smartphones, televisions, PCs. Production could be significantly reduced. Phison predicts consumer electronics companies may go out of business due to memory shortages entirely. Sony has secured enough PS5 components through 2026, but long-term outlook does look concerning. PS6 internal release date speculation has continued. Some rumors suggest 2027, but this crisis casts more doubt on that. Industry-wide issue as AI development prioritizes memory resources over consumer electronics. Previous concerns about soaring RAM prices due to unprecedented AI orders have been confirmed, and the potential for console generation to extend significantly if the memory supply doesn't improve. They go on to say that NVIDIA has already, their new GPUs that they're designing for AI farms require 20 terabyte SSDs, and they've already secured 20% of the market share of those SSDs. So then that leaves 80% for the rest of them, and then Sony and Microsoft will be fighting over those, along with PC manufacturers and all those other things. This could well push into 2030s before we see the likes of a new console. Otherwise, they're going to be so goddamn expensive. It's going to be crazy.
I fucking hate AI. This is not the first time I've said this today. We are in the worst timeline. We are in the fucking worst timeline.
Did you like the video that I sent you with the old school Facebook Star Wars meme? Where it's Anakin and Natalie Portman. She's like, we're curing cancer, right? This is why AI needs all the RAM. We're curing cancer, right? And then it's just, she's just got boobs in the last one. They're just AI.
It's disgusting. The delay in the console generation, not a bad thing. PS5 is pretty sweet. And if I still want to get a Pro one day, I want to have it for like at least a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. It's funny. So for my IT course that I'm doing at the moment, one of the case studies that we did this week was we were tasked with building a PC that could handle running like loads of virtual machines concurrently. And it's like, hey, use PC power pickers to build yourself like this PC. You've got a budget of $3,700. I'm like, it's not going to be enough. So after building my computer, there was $1,600 worth of RAM in it, and it got me 2 fucking sticks of RAM. I had no graphics card in this motherfucker because you don't really need it to run a virtual machine, but like, it was just a CPU, a motherboard, and 2 sticks of RAM, and that was my $3,700 spent. I'm just like, this is ludicrous. And like, you know, I mentioned, what was it, just before Christmas when my computer blew up, I got a refund for my RAM sticks that were in my computer, and then I had to pay double the amount to buy the same RAM sticks again. I'm just like, this is crazy. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's all for shit. It's all for fucking shit. And like, that's the thing. If AI was
dancing babies on TikTok.
Yeah, like if AI was used for just, you know, the things it should be used for, brilliant.
Did you see Hollywood and a bunch of movie, Warner Brothers, I think Disney, are suing Seedance because it's making movies that look incredibly realistic just from prompts? And they're like, we're going to be out of jobs in like 2 years.
But they won't, though, because every AI film fucking sucks asshole.
Some asshole's just going to write a script, punch it into AI, and it's just going to act it out for them. We won't need actors anymore. We'll still need writers, but we won't need actors anymore.
It completely removes what makes art. It is humans that make things art. It's the humanity in all of this. Jesus fucking Christ. Ugh. Speaking of humanity, sure, there's a good segue, I guess. Skate. Where's the humanity, Max? They promised us no paywall for season passes, season Madukas or whatever, or the content, right? But EA's free-to-play Skate, which is still currently in early access, has announced that season 3 content will be part of this new controversial monetization. The tutorial island, which is being expanded to the Isle of Grom with new playable areas and skate spots. So the Isle of Grom has access is restricted behind the Skate Pass Premium, breaking the developer's original promise to never paywall map areas. So here's a timeline breakdown. From March the 10th to April 14, Premium Pass holders will only be able to have access to it. From April 14 to May the 5th, it'll be open to all during a special event. From May 5th to June 2nd, it will be required to provide 500 RIP chips for 24 hours access. The development studio Full Circle's response was, "Sometimes plans have to change," end quote, as they build game in early access with players. Community outcry centers on a broken promise as the devs explicitly stated that this would never happen. Steam player numbers have nosedived since launch and likely to the aggressive monetization, and we don't know what the console numbers are. But players to report lack of meaningful content since launch, which I would also agree with, even though I still enjoy it, with focus on selling generic/recolored items for real money. Very true. Accusations of AI-generated skate parks and board designs in the cash shop. Can't confirm. But where Season 3 will also be adding brands like Adidas, store improvements, as well as a new Premium Plus Skate Pass tier. Future updates promise Dark Slides, which I thought should already be out, and grittier streets, but community trust severely damaged. Now, we watched a very dev roundtable thing for this, and we were pretty hopeful at the time. When the game came out, Max, both you and I had a real good time with it. I enjoyed it.
I've been playing it since it was still... I was lucky enough to be tester for it. Been playing it for yonks.
But I'm not playing it at the moment, are you? It's
kind of... I jump in from time to time. But no, I haven't played it in a hot minute. I played it when Season 2 launched. But nothing kind of gripped me. It was kind of just... I was just kind of just skating the same spots that everyone else kind of was.
Yeah.
It's same but different. Like, it feels like Skate, and it sometimes looks like Skate, but it's also not at the same time.
Like, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Like, sometimes you, when you hit a spot right, or you do something a bit silly, you're like, this is fucking Skate. And then, yeah, when I go into the store, and I would go in when I was playing, you obviously go in and every time I play it and have a look around. And it is like the accusation of it just being recolored, reskinned shit consistently is bang on. It is bang on. Now, once they introduced the season plus, like, so not the season, the season pass, right? And which the content you can unlock by hitting certain tasks and whatever, and you're accruing these premium points. Those things were mostly, like, they felt kind of unique because they clearly put all the cool shit into these tier lists, right? All these tier structured unlocks. You know, each thing costs, like, 50, 20, 100 or whatever. But the stuff in the general store with the whatever rip score that you get suck. And at the same time, once I got the outfit that I liked, I'm not changing it.
Until the next outfit you like comes along.
Max, I've dressed the same.
Like, fuck you, buddy.
Like, I've dressed the same, near on the same, for near 20 years of my life, right? So, like, cool. Like, can I get some Vans or some DCs? You know, like, sweet, fantastic. Jeans, beautiful. A shirt, love it. Done. I don't want to be fucking skating around in some chicken suit, some hot dog suit, or a skeleton, or I don't, the deck I'll probably change the most, but even then, once I find the deck from, like, my youth that I would have always wanted, I'm like, oh, brilliant, done. Never changing it. I'm not someone that suck it in by cosmetics. So the long-term plan for Skate didn't work for me anyway. What had me excited was the integrations of new mechanics, like your dark slides and whatever. And I know it's not, hasn't been as long as it feels since the game came out. And I remember looking at the original roadmap, and I feel like we should have already had that shit by now.
Yeah, it was mid-September last year that Skate dropped.
Yeah. As I said, like, it doesn't feel...
It feels longer.
Because it's the worst timeline, and a lot of stuff's happened.
Yeah. That, and I also got to play... I also was playing it from a very early stage, so...
Yeah, well, okay, well, let's have a look. Is this the... I want their original roadmap.
So season one was October.
Yep.
Was to have two seasonal events, Skateween.
Which they did, that happened, yep.
And it was supposed to have quality of life improvements, including the HUD and other stuff. Season two was December of 2025. It was new co-op game modes, two seasonal events, party voice chat, new gameplay tricks, impossibles, and improved hand plants, and the replay editor was to be improved. Season three and beyond, leaderboards, open world collection, more character slots, for example, tattoos, player-created parks, new game modes, new gameplay tricks, dark slides, and improved foot plants, sorry.
And this is the original roadmap?
I believe this is the original roadmap. This is from a Reddit post 4 months ago.
Cool. And what was the date on season three?
It doesn't have a date. It was season three and beyond. Season two was dated December. Season one was dated October.
All right. So we are in, like, a reasonable time frame. It's just, yeah, it just feels... Just the
again, nature of things. Seasons last for 3 months on average.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
If it came out December, it would have been mid-December from memory. So January, February, we're looking at mid-March.
Yeah, okay, so they have kept
the next
timeline.
Couple of weeks. Yeah,
I think it's just because it's a game that sort of phases out of my memory. I'm like, yeah, it feels like ages. Like, no, it really wasn't. Either way, it's a bummer. The game looked really cool, and once again, we understand, as I said earlier, I have to understand that circumstances change, and, you know, it's okay to reassess and reevaluate. And, you know, something that was said, actioned or whatever 3 years ago, or in this case, you know, even 6 months ago, circumstances change, information changes, and decisions need to be altered. I'm actually, once again, whatever. Either way, let's get into, look, Skate 3's out.
I've got some quick bitties that aren't in the list.
Quick bitties, let's go.
Neo 3 is the fastest selling game in the series with 1 million copies sold in just 2 weeks.
Nice. That's better than expected.
As I mentioned at the start of the show, Nier Automata has reached 10 million sales, and Square Enix has teased that more is to come. Jeff Keighley himself reposted Nier Automata to be continued yesterday or 2 days ago at time of recording. And lastly, Capcom has issued reassurances that as Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil Requiem has begun to leak, because there are things out there now that their legal team are all over it and will do everything within its power to remove all the leaks in order to preserve your day one experience. So everyone beware of not only the jump scares of Resident Evil, but the leaks that are already appearing. And lastly, for all the weeb fans out there, solo leveling has entered Fortnite.
Wait, what?
One of the biggest animes of last year.
Oh, have they meant solo leveling as in the ability to solo level? I'm like, that would be pretty fundamental change.
They've all come in to Fortnite as playable characters now. Around it.
Yeah, look, even Mute in the chat's like, huh?
Yes, the Korean anime. The Korean manhwa.
It's not the smartest idea to name your anime after a term for a video game.
Well, the gimmick of this anime is like hunters exist in the world and they can, and once they've awakened their power, that's it. That's all they get. But this character has the ability to level up. So he's the solo leveler of the entire world. He's the only one who can become stronger than. Yeah,
it's dumb. That's dumb, but like it is. The logic is there. Like. Yeah.
That's why it's that. Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's why Avatar The Last Airbender is called that, because he, the last airbender, is at the like time. Right there, straight up in the well, at the time. Once he starts banging, there will be more airbenders.
Yeah, you'd assume so, right? Like, yeah. But look, if you don't want to play Fortnite with this random Korean anime crossover, or sadly you aren't banging, here are some games that you can buy that are coming out this week. On Monday, the February 24th, you get Bread and Fred on PS5. That's a game.
It's a co-op mountain climbing game.
Oh, dope. Not like Peak, but I've been thinking about this week, the big walk. You know, the house. I didn't know it was House, the like Goose Game folks.
I am.
In the state of play. You know, like the big walk with the little ants that like going on big adventures. That looks fucking sick. It looks like Peak, but like jacked up. And not knowing that it's made by House, brilliant. Tuesday, February 25th, Pogui, P-O-G-U-I, PS5, PS4. It's not Pingui or that Pingu, which would be a way better game. I'd play a Pingu game in a heartbeat. Actually, no, I wouldn't. That'd be shit.
Speaking of Pingu games, did you see that they're making another Bluey game?
Why? The first one was bad. Is it to redeem the other one? But then, yeah, the first Paw Patrol game was pretty shit. The second one was better, and the third one was pretty good. Also on Tuesday, February 25th, Tokyo Extreme Racer, PS5. Oh, shit! I just read ahead. Wednesday, February 26th, No Sleep for Kaname Date from the AI Sominium Files. PS5, PS4, not the one I got excited for, by the way. Just want to clarify.
It fucking was, don't lie.
No, the next one, PC Building Simulator 2. I hope they allow for, you know, insane memory prices coming to PS5. Even though it's fucking coming out. I'll play that in a heartbeat.
Why don't they just upgrade the previous one with, like, the newer models and stuff?
Yeah, that'd make way more sense. Raiden Fighters Remix, PS5, PS4. Shadow Corridor 2, PS5. I don't know whether you can play it if you haven't played the first. Towerborn, PS5. And finally, on Thursday, February 27th, Fear Effect 2, Retro Helix, PS5, PS4, Resident Evil Requiem, PS5, Tales of Berseria Remastered, PS5, and Warplanes, WW2 Dogfight, PS5. I'm very pleased to see a lot of PS5 releases. PS4 releases are slowing down. The answer is Requiem. And maybe PC Building Simulator 2.
Definitely Bread and Fred.
All right, give me 2 seconds.
Oh my god, they're both little penguins.
What, Bread,
Bread
and Fred?
Bread and Fred is a challenging co-op platformer from Apogee where two players must cooperate to jump and climb to the top of Snowy Mountain. It's fucking ice climbers, but they're penguins.
And I'm in.
So, one of the channels that I follow on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, it keeps popping up, and it's essentially like It Takes Two, but you play as remote control cars. It's Rocket League, but It Takes Two. Like, I've got to get onto this.
Interesting. Hang on. Oh, this is why I haven't seen it. It's fascinating. Okay, so PC Builder Simulator 2, developed by Spiral House, and is published by Epic Games. So it is only going to the Epic Games Store.
Well, that doesn't make sense because there's a PS5 release.
No, but on PC. That's why I haven't seen it, because like I'd assume it would be on my fucking Steam shit, right?
Mm.
But it's not coming to Steam. Apparently, is it already out? It came out October 2022. I really should open Epic Games. I never use the Epic Game Launcher, like, ever. Well, there you go. Huh.
It came out 4 years ago, and it's only just coming to console?
Yep. And no one's talked about, like, I've talked about simulator games, talked about PC building simulator, how much I enjoyed it, and how it helped me better understand how computers work and how to build them, and so on. For them to find out that there was a 2 and no one said shit.
I log into Epic once a week to claim my free games, and that's it. My Epic,
I don't even know my password.
My Epic library is huge, purely from free weekly games.
Which makes no sense, because if you go in there, you'll never play them, because you never boot it up.
I play Witchfire a fair bit, because kickstarted it.
True. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone for joining in and being part of the chat, whether it be live here on Twitch, over in the comment section on the YouTubes, or just listening. I know that's like, we do get, you know, reasonable numbers, and I know on the audio feeds we certainly do. The videos not so much. But there are certain people out there that take the time to listen to us, and I still appreciate it. I'm still very grateful. We both are. So we won't take up too much more of your time. Let's finish this off so Max can get to work.
All right, everybody, you know the drill. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it, which I've still never updated, and I probably never will. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.